Now, in the modern age, we rely more and more on computers and online services for daily life. For example, banking, health, shopping, and the blind and partially sighted community rely on a lot of online services. But are we at risk of information theft or vulnerability? A study of more than 4,000 organisations across five countries, commissioned by specialist insurer Hiscox, reveals major shortcomings in cybersecurity readiness at nearly three quarters of firms. Here to talk about the Cyber Readiness Report and all things security related, I have former director of GCHQ Robert Hannigan and chief underwriting officer for cyber at Hiscox, Matthew Webb. Hello.
Hi, Simon.
First of all, Matthew, tell us a little bit about the report then. Why is it commissioned?
Well, it was commissioned, cyber incidents, cyber attacks are rarely out of the news. We saw the big attacks on the NHS last year. We saw some mega breaches as well at some of the internet giants that we're familiar with. And so we were looking to understand exactly how ready or gauge how ready organisations are if they're faced with a cyber incident. As you say, we spoke to 4,000 organisations across the UK, Europe and the United States. And it found that 7 out of 10 organisations were not ready to face a cyber incident. And you think, just to build upon those mega breaches that hit the news, you look at further into the research as well, and it found that 1 out of 2 companies, or almost 1 out of 2 companies that we spoke with, had suffered a cyber incident within the last 12 months.
It sounds like it's a much bigger threat than we tend to perceive.
I think you're right. It is all down to awareness and understanding. I think the media, there's a lot of fear, uncertainty and doubt, the FUD that's projected out there, that it makes it difficult for Joe Public to relate to. I also think that where I draw parallels with the United States, where I think they do have a more appreciation around privacy and their rights to privacy, the legal landscape that we operate in is different. So in the United States, companies have had breach reporting obligations, i.e. if they suffer a cyber incident and they lose customer data, they've had to report it to regulators and then write to customers. That is just going to be brought in. The law was passed 2 years ago, or almost 2 years ago, and will be in force in May this year, and it'll pose similar obligations on companies. And I think that will escalate the level of awareness around privacy and our rights to privacy.
Robert, are we, the public, at risk by association with these organisations then?
Well, everybody's at risk in the sense that most cyber attacks are about crime. So this is criminal groups, very often highly organised and sophisticated groups, trying to make money out of all of us by attacking companies, by attacking individuals. And it's just normal crime, but in the digital and cyber era, and it's easy to do, cheap to do, and they can do it on a massive scale. And you saw big examples last year, for example, the WannaCry attack against the NHS, which affected some hospitals. And that sort of hit the headlines, but beneath the surface, as this report shows, a lot of small businesses have been affected and individuals. And as you said at the start, we are all so reliant these days on technology and on data to live our lives and to do business and to go shopping. We are very vulnerable as a result.
We hear of these hacking events, like perhaps it might be Facebook, it might be one of the other agencies, and sometimes we don't hear about it for about a year. Does that not leave us vulnerable in that period of time?
Well, Matt referred to the new legislation, which will make it compulsory for companies to report a breach very, very quickly, I think within 72 hours. And if they don't do it, they will be fined very heavily. So I think that will change in the next few months, and companies need to understand that if they don't do the right thing and report breaches quickly, they will be breaking the law. So you're right, in the past, people have decided whether to sit on the problem or not. They won't be able to in the future.
Matthew, there's quite a cost involved, isn't there, in protecting organisations?
There can be. I think there's a lot of controls, there's a lot of measures that companies can take, which doesn't attract a huge cost. If you have a look at the National Cybersecurity Centre website or the Information Commissioner's website, there's some really good hints and tips, even as basic as regularly changing your password, having a strong password, making sure you install the updates that come through from Apple or Microsoft or whomever. And that doesn't cost money. I think it's a bit of a misconception there that it is very expensive. Certainly, where we've looked at the organizations that we spoke to throughout the report, we've looked to rank them as cyber novice, by then not doing very much very well, cyber intermediate, who are doing some things well, and cyber experts, who are doing things well across the board. I think the key difference between the novice and the expert is that the novices are investing in technology. They're looking to build the firewall, but they're not sort of peeling back the problem and seeing the importance of building the human firewall and investing in people. And that's, you know, having ownership of the risk at board level or manager level, and training your employees and creating a culture within the organisation around information security.
I noticed a quote in the report saying that it's not a matter of if we get a major attack, cyber attack in the UK, it's when. And that's quite worrying to us as laymen, isn't it?
I think that's right. And it is a question of when we get another big, of course, WannaCry was a pretty big attack. But we should probably focus less on the state attacks and more on the overwhelming majority of cyber attacks are crime. They are people trying to make money out of us. And that's already happening, and it will grow, and it will get more sophisticated. So that's what people need to be ready for. And I think this report's just showing that the awareness is rising, but the action isn't necessarily matching it. And as Matt says, it isn't necessarily about throwing huge amounts of money at technology. It is 80% of it is about better behavior and awareness and doing the right things and knowing what the threats are.
So it's the same principle for us at home then, on our home computers as well.
Exactly, exactly. It starts with all of us at home and goes through small businesses up to the biggest organizations. There are sensible things that individuals can do. And again, if you go to the government, the NCSC website, which I know is enabled for the partially sighted and blind community. So there is really sensible advice there and elsewhere on how to protect yourself. And a lot of it is what we've always talked about, which is making sure you've updated your software, as Matt says, if you're on Windows or if you're an Apple user, making sure you accept those updates, making sure you use difficult passwords, so you don't just go for 12345, and backing up your data. So they're simple things and they don't cost a lot of money. And it does start with every individual.
And does it matter if you have a free virus malware, or is it better to have a paid for one?
Not necessarily. No, there are some very, very good free antivirus products around. And of course, Microsoft themselves do a lot of that for you if you're a Windows user, but other companies do as well. So you don't have to spend a lot of money to do antivirus well.
So Matthew, where can we get more on the report and find out some tips about keeping yourself safe online?
That's it. We pulled out as part of the report 10 areas that organisations can look towards to improve their information or the handling of their information and their cyber risk. And the report's available at hiscox.co.uk/cyber readiness.
And the GCHQ website?
It's ncsc.gov.uk.
Well, the report makes sober reading. Robert Hannigan and Matthew Webb, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sam.